The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
WEEI Afternoons, we are live here from Gillette Stadium. Nice to have you with us today, and we're joined on the phone by Drake Mays, brought to you by Northeast Men's Health, the experts in treating men's sexual health, with five New England offices or at northeastmenshealth.com, and by Cardi's Furniture and Mattresses. Get next-day delivery with removal and disposal at Cardi's Furniture and Mattresses. Drake May, how are we doing today?
What's going on? Is it all right? Hanging in there.
Doing great. Now, congratulations on the win, first and foremost. I want to start about what happened earlier on in the week, though, as we heard about you being frustrated in practice, calling a team meeting. What wasn't going right in practice? Let's start there. What prompted the meeting in the first place? What did you see out on the practice field maybe that you didn't like?
I think just what we're putting out on the practice field, I don't think was a testament to the guys we have in that room and on the offense, especially, I think it was more of an offensive side of things to control as the quarterback. And I was trying to get the guys together and focus up and kind of detail the little things and focus in on that. And I felt like they ended up helping us out in on Sunday.
You mentioned last night when you talked about this that maybe you flubbed some words, but you think the general message got across. But were you a little nervous to do it? I mean, you are. Only started half a season here. You're 22 years old. Some of these guys you're looking at are men and been in the league for 6, 8, 10 years. Were you a little nervous to do it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, really, first time getting up there. Obviously, I've said some things to the guys in the huddle and obviously the offense during practice, but you're really in the meeting room. I wouldn't say I was, really that nervous, but exactly like Fred said, really the first time. And I think Jacoby's did a great job during training camp of really doing it. And he still does it, throughout the season of getting the offense, a real leader on the offense. So just trying to sell my part, and I think the point got across. So that's the main thing.
Did you feel like it was well received? Like when you finished, were you like, okay, that was good. That was a good first step for my leadership, and they bought into what I was saying.
Yeah, I think it wasn't more of that, more just really good guys going, and I think it filtered over to practice and really filtered over to Sunday. So. I guess that means the message got across. I think those guys respected it and look forward to hopefully get back to practice this week and hopefully get another win.
All right, so you get to Chicago. It's obviously a very windy day, tough conditions out there. You have another offensive line combination and a rejuvenated team now that you gave a big pep talk to. You get out there on the field, the first quarter starts, maybe not the way you wanted it to. How are you feeling after that first quarter?
Yeah, I think really that after that first drive, like you said, the first quarter when you went out there, got in the red zone, ended up kicking for three, and then obviously my turnover didn't help. So really just, I thought we could move the ball on these guys. I was proud of the guys up front for how they fought, and really I think the biggest thing was those 3 and 4 and 5 yard runs ended up leading, helping us down the road. I think just kept on, pounding the rock and kind of got back to running the football, which has helped a lot. And that win was something else. I think even at times in the game, the ball was just sitting there waiting for, the center, they would set it and the ball would just be rolling down the field. It was a good experience though. I think we practiced in the wind a lot up here in Boston, but obviously that's the windy city. So, a little different, but I thought we still managed to, have some big plays in the air and thought defense, how about that? And I thought they won us that football game.
You mentioned that interception. I think we can all agree that was pretty ugly. I don't know if you've gone back and watched it on film. I know you said you were trying to throw it away, didn't get it there. Just sort of talk us through what you saw, what came in reality, and what you learned from it.
Yeah, it was that double move on the outside. And You know, wasn't there. They were sitting on it, and the crosser with hoop was covered up. So you're kind of one of those things, you're looking downfield and you kind of quick and set your feet knowing somebody's coming from behind to throw it, try to throw it out of bounds and just kind of let it go a little farther, you know, throw it in the first row. So I think those things happened. Obviously, it wasn't a great play. So
Andy and I were arguing over what your best throw of the day was. I thought it was the booty throw. He thought it was the hooper throw. What do you think it was?
I don't know. I think those two great catches. You know, I think you know, Hooper's catch was awesome. You know, big play from him, and then Booty made a great catch across the middle. Glad we got to spike it. So I think had a chance to make probably my best throw was had a chance to make it on the scramble before the 2 minute to Booty. Underthrew it a little bit. Obviously, I wish I had that one back. So up for grabs. I wish I definitely had some ones I wish I had back though.
On the touchdown throw, was it good to get Jalen back incorporated into the offense? I know he didn't get a lot of looks in that game, but getting him in the end zone must have been a nice boost for him and for you.
No doubt. Anytime you get in the end zone, a confidence booster for, you know, a rookie. And felt good. And, you know, one of the first, you know, touchdowns between me and Jalen. Hopefully a lot more coming in the future. And I'm just happy for him and looking forward to, you know, have him get him keep going.
On the throw to Hooper, he said something postgame about he wasn't really open and you kind of threw him open with your throw. And I know a lot of analysts, even coaches, talk about there's college open versus NFL open and throwing guys open. Are you learning that? Are you seeing that? Is there a different level of, quote-unquote, being open in the NFL compared to what you're used to in the college game?
My mindset, you know, back there is, hey, one-on-one and, you know, just give my guy a chance. That's kind of what I always thought, you know, and on the Hooper play, you know, his back is turned to me. And, you know, Hooper's a kind of big hoop, is on a corner route. And, you know, give him a chance, just give him a chance and kind of, you know, let it high, let him go up and get it, and then he made a nice grab. So I think what they say about NFL, college, and between the, you know, open and not open, I think there's times where, you know, definitely tighter windows. But at the same time, you know, one-on-one to me, I feel like pretty much, you know, since I grew up, when, you know, it was open.
Drake, I don't know if you saw this, if you watched the game with the commentary or not, but on the flea flicker, the studio, the play-by-play and color commentators were very negative about it. Even though it picked up like 7 yards, they were like, oh, that's it? That's all you're getting? Was that the idea of that play? Was that supposed to be more of a bigger chunk play? Because the broadcast team seemed to think that that was not executed the way it was meant to be.
Yeah, I think you leave, you know, certain plays, you know, what we're trying to accomplish out of it. So, you know, just glad we picked up you know, a long developing play for 8 yards. But, hey, we had a gain. I think we may have had a pop of maybe score it. You know, get all those linemen out. But at the same time, I think the defense kind of, once one of those plays, once they see it, they kind of rally.
When we see you run, sometimes it looks like you are intent on running, picking up yards, getting out of bounds. Other times there was that one play late in the game where you stepped up, kind of flipped it to Hunter for a nice gain down the left sideline. What is your thought process when it starts to break down, you start to run? Are you running to throw? Do you decide quickly to run? Do you try to push off the run as long as possible? What's your mindset there?
Yeah, I think I think the first thing is kind of moving in the pocket to throw. I think that's the biggest thing as a quarterback, keeping my eyes downfield. And also my biggest thing is to be decisive. I think a lot of times you see guys that, you know, thinking, hey, should I move here? Or should I leave here? So I think the biggest thing is just being decisive, and that's what I try to be. And whether it's picking up three or four on a scramble, or like you said, you know, about to scramble, keep my eyes up and hitting Hunter in the late game for a big first down. So I think you know, my mindset should be decisive back there.
There was some reporting before the game, or maybe during it, I can't exactly remember, Drake, that Kendrick Bourne wasn't going to get a lot of snaps. I don't think he got any in the game. This is a veteran receiver in that room, someone that I don't know what your relationship with him is like, but in terms of your development as a young quarterback, I guess, do you have any sort of say in who plays and who doesn't? Is that something that they come to you and ask you about, or how do you feel about losing a weapon like Bourne in the passing game?
Yeah, I think KB, you know, first of all, he's a great teammate and great leader on this team. You know, you're going to see KB more throughout you're definitely going to see him again throughout the rest of the season. So excited to, you know, have him out there. I think he had some nice catches against Tennessee and the Titans. So, you know, really as a rookie, I'm not really controlling who's out there. I'm more, you know, worried about, you know, doing my job. So that's kind of the gist of it.
I think you're aware we talk to Jonathan Jones as well every Monday. And in recent weeks, he acknowledged he was pleasantly surprised that the morale of the team was staying high, even though there were some losses, and you were 2-7 before this week. Have you seen that same thing, that even though the record and the results haven't always been where guys want it to be, that sort of the energy, effort, and attitude of the team has stayed at a relatively high level?
Yeah, I think I had noticed that. I think that's a testament to the guys we have in that locker room and the camaraderie. I think these guys we're all big fans of each other. We enjoy, you know, coming to play football and playing on Sundays and work throughout the week. I think that's the biggest thing I've noticed. And especially for us young guys, I think we know what the real kind of, you may not see the outcome or the results, right away, but it's coming down the road and guys are keeping, positive vibes. And I think that's the biggest thing that I've kind of noticed, is especially these young guys, and I think the vets have done a great job of kind of, reeling in the younger guys and letting us know, hey, these little things can, could be the difference in the game. And I think we're seeing that more and more throughout the season and learning, and got a chance to hopefully, win 3 out of 4 this week. And I think that's something that you can build on.
Listening to Gerard Mayo with the Greg Hill Morning Show on our station this morning, he mentioned something about being a young coach and that line between ex-player but also having reverence for a coach. He said he always revered every coach he ever played for. You're in an interesting situation. You come from Mack Brown, an older coach, national title, established, to Gerard Mayo, his first year, ex-player, trying to figure out who he is. And I'm just wondering what you see and maybe the comparisons between Mack Brown and Gerard Mayo, and what is your relationship with Gerard Mayo?
Yeah, I think the first thing you notice is just the biggest thing you look for in a player is a player's coach. And I think they both check off that box. Coach Brown was, definition of a player's coach. He, the way he treated the players and kind of like the elderly, I wouldn't say grandpa, but like the guy, always, Coach Brown was in the definition of, Coach Brown's getting up there, and he'll be the first one to tell you in age, and it's the way he was still able to, relate to the players and be a player's coach, and there's so much I learned from Coach Brown, and it was really the reason I went to North Carolina. But having Coach Mayo, same thing. I think, player's coach, he's done it. He's lived it. He's lived it through the Patriots, and he knows what it's like to, do the early morning lifts and come back and run the hills after practice. I think that's the biggest thing that you can kind of respect, that he's done it and won Super Bowls and done it here in this same building, and now these players who have played with him at times, and now bringing back a lot of the coaches that he played with is a cool experience, and you can respect something like that and kind of grow a lot from that.
All right, quarterback question of the week brought to you by Northeast Men's Health, the experts in treating men's sexual health, with 5 New England offices or at northeastmenshealth.com. This question comes to us from John up in Meredith, New Hampshire, who asks, Drake, did it feel better winning this week because you beat Caleb Williams?
Yeah, I think it was just good to get a win under my belt. I mean, first full game getting a win. Obviously, anytime you're facing a rookie quarterback or a guy drafted in your class, you want to come out on top, and glad we did that. But like I said, shout out to the defense. They played their butts off, and we did what they had to do to, finish out the game on offense. So proud of the guys, and I look forward to getting after next week.
Were you surprised to see him struggle so much? I mean, he had a very rough day, as you no doubt saw. You've competed against him before at different levels. Was that sort of surprising to see him out there having that kind of trouble?
No, I think the biggest thing is just our defense. They made tough on him. They're getting after him. They're switching up coverage. They play well, man. Our defense did a great job. And I wouldn't say, surprised with, facing our defense in training camp. So, pulling for Caleb, and, obviously you got to know him throughout, high school and even college, and was in the same high school, kind of class, so saw him a lot of different places. So, root for him, but I think at the end of the day, just glad he won.
You ever been sacked 9 times in a game? Because that's what your defense did.
Yeah, 9 times. No, I know I probably wouldn't feel too great, today. So you're glad we don't face our defense.
Well, fingers crossed that doesn't happen to you ever, really, but certainly not this year. Drake May, great job. Thanks for joining us today. Good luck against the Rams this weekend. We'll talk to you on Monday.
Sweet. Thank y'all. Go Pat.
All right. Thanks, Drake May, joining us here on WEEI After.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, Couches, Stories, Grandma's Secret Pecan Pie Recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's Family Carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Noons. Patriots 19-3 winners over the Chicago Bears. This song, by the way, I had a friend who, have you ever seen this video, Stish?
Oh, it's amazing.
Why don't you ask me?
Have you ever seen the video for this?
I don't even know what the song is.
It's called Yonkers by Tyler, the Creator. And in the video, he like eats a bug and starts bleeding. And in the end, he like, he hangs himself. It's like this crazy video where it's just like black and white. And I played it for a friend of mine, and he had like nightmares about it. As an adult man, like, you know, it wasn't.
It
like
was a creepy. It was a very creepy, well done video.
This guy's like 33 years old. He had a job and whatever, and he had nightmares. He said for weeks.
That's why I don't watch that
after watching
crap.
A rap video. I just thought that was
that's
weird.
That's why I don't watch that crap, so I don't have nightmares.
Probably not. I think Caleb Williams is going to have nightmares after getting sacked 9 times by the Patriots front. As we've discussed this and we've argued about it, I don't know if we've argued about it. We've debated it. Was this game more about the Patriots or more about the Bears? I can tell you what Bill Belichick thinks.
Oh. Boy,
I don't even want to set it up. Let's just listen to what Bill Belichick had to say about this game on the Pat McAfee show today when he was asked about it. Here's Bill.
Yeah, well, I think he's done a good job when he's been able to scramble.
Hold on a second. Wait, sorry about that. Did not set that up right. He was asked about Drake May and how Drake May did and how he looked, and that was who he's talking about in the very beginning there. So he's asked, what'd you think of Drake May? Now go ahead.
Yeah, well, I think he's done a good job when he's been able to scramble and run around, made some plays on play action where they can separate the defense, because the running game, when Stevenson can get it going, is, you know, draw some of the coverage and the linebackers up and so forth. But, you know, to me, the bigger thing is just where the Bears are. I mean, they can't protect. They can't move the ball. They can't score any points. Jacksonville, same situation. I mean, you have several of these teams that just – we talked about this at the beginning of the year, Pat, in Chicago. You know, they have this all-star quarterback, these all-star receivers, you know, the greatest skill players in the history of football. And the offensive line's a problem. They can't run the ball. They can't protect. Swift is doing all he can, but, you know, it's just, you know, hard. And then, you know, you get into a situation where too many negative plays, too many turnovers, too many long yardage situations, a tough – we'll say, look, they've had the benefit of the schedule. We'll see how it goes here with, you know, with the Bears and with Jacksonville and teams like that, you know, that have had a lot of offensive line problems. I mean, it's just, you know, Cleveland, just hard to imagine that they're going to really be able to sustain much when you have that many problems up front.
I'll tell you what. Belichick likes kicking a team when it's down, doesn't he?
Absolutely. He's a bully.
He kind of likes doing that. He did it to the Patriots. He's doing it to the Bears right now. A lot of people are mad because he kind of blew off Drake May in the day that he had. I didn't think Drake May had a great day. I thought he had a fine day. It was kind of a meh performance by his standards, I would say, so far this year. Not one of his best ones. But to say, like, yeah, he was only good when he was able to run around and move around the pot. He didn't run around that much. There were bootlegs and things like that. And I think that's just a part of the game. Like, he's talking about that like it's some novel concept. Well, when he's bootlegging and getting around, then that guy lets guys get open more. It's like, no, Bill, that everybody does that. Like, everyone right. in the league is doing that. That's a very common part of offense now, and I just sort of think to dismiss that, like, yeah, he was okay when he was doing that, but, you know, really this is all about the Chicago Bears. He's not alone. I mean, a lot of people think that game was more about the Bears than it was about the Patriots. What do you think of that analysis?
So he's definitely a bully, and he's definitely got some – in my day, we had the quarterback stand in the pocket, and he was protected by a big offensive line.
Right.
And, like, he's got some old schoolness to him, and that's fine. He's Bill Belichick. Yes, he's great, the whole thing. But he also is clearly diminishing the Patriots, what they did. what Drake May did. He clearly is not a real Drake May believer.
Nope.
We've known that since draft week.
He wasn't a Josh Allen believer either.
Oh, no.
Ironically.
Took him a long time to come around on Josh Allen.
I think Josh Allen forced him to.
By, you know, not
kicking
punting,
his ass.
By you not being able to force Josh Allen to punt, forced you to acknowledge his greatness.
Two straight games.
I think Bill does come off as, you know, as we all do at times, as a dink. And
I know. I feel closer to Bill right now than I ever have before.
Yes, absolutely.
This is how I talk.
Absolutely.
Things that I say.
And everybody does. And it's not just an agent thing.
Right.
Like, I'll use an example. A lot of kids use the word trash. Mm-hmm. They just throw trash. Like, that guy's trash.
Yep.
The Bears O-line is trash. And it's so utterly disrespectful when you say it that way. So it's not an age-based thing. But the snark there, they don't have an all-star quarterback. They have a quarterback who was an all-star at the college level.
Mm-hmm.
It's different when you jump up a level. And I don't know that anybody thought they had all-world receivers. None of their receivers is a top 10 receiver. DJ Moore is probably not a top 10
Moore's
receiver.
Outside the top 10, I'd say. Allen was at one point a top 10
receiver.
Yeah,
but he's not now.
He's not now. I think Adunze could become one, but he's not
so
one
they're
now
not.
Either. Yeah, right.
Right. Like, nobody looked at them and said they're the best receiving core, maybe 1-3.
But
some people
disdain,
said that early.
Which with he said, oh, the best receivers
well, he's been
of
on
all
this
time.
From day. Remember when he was bitching about Ryan Pace? You do what you do, but maybe put an offensive line together.
Right.
Like, he's been on this. It makes me wonder. So clearly the
it's
Patriots.
Like, Bill, you signed Schuster and Devontae Parker.
But does he have
maybe
a
don't throw shots at other people's offenses.
Does he
know?
Have a personal thing with Ryan Pace? Like,
maybe.
There has to be something. Yeah, like Woody Johnson. Ready, fire, aim.
Yep.
Right? That's personal. He has a history with the Jets and Woody Johnson. The Patriots. It's really about the Bears to me. I didn't really see anything all that impressive. He has a history with Robert Kraft, who amicably parted ways until he went on some podcast and say, I fired his ass. And I just wonder, like, is Ryan Pace, is there?
Is that Vince McMahon?
Yeah, a little bit.
It's like, what was that voice?
Did you see the Vince?
You're fired.
You know the Vince McMahon meme that everybody uses with him crying from that documentary.
Yes,
there was
being
one
like, stop,
around.
Stop.
Like,
yeah.
You know, me when people ask why I have a James Devlin 46 jersey or something, people kept sending that to me with, like, tears in his eyes.
That one's pretty good. That's a
laugh.
Good one, and the one where he falls out of the chair, and it's, like, different levels of falling out of the chair.
Yeah.
I like that one, too.
But I don't know if you're allowed to like Vince McMahon anymore. Is he in, like, that weird, like, R. Kelly, Michael Jackson, P. Diddy, like, world?
I guess so. I mean, I think he probably is. I don't know how much people really liked him all that much to begin with. Like, he was always
screw you, you're fired.
He was always just like a character on the show, you know. Like, I don't think people took him seriously as a guy. Now that we know who he is, right? Yeah. Now
as much as a dink as he was on camera, he was like way worse behind the camera.
It's true.
In real everyday life,
he's a bad guy. Yeah.
But getting back to Bill, and I'm not comparing Bill to Vince McMahon, although they're probably in similar circles in some ways.
Probably now.
What?
No, not in that, but, like, aren't they kind of in, like, the Trump?
Yeah, his wife's part of Trump's transition team, I think, yeah.
Yeah. See, Stiz? Don't get out. Stiz is so defensive of Bill.
That's my lord and savior, Bill Belichick. I just want to make sure. Take it easy.
You didn't think he just came off as a dink talking about the Bears instead of the Patriots?
After what Kraft did to him and publicly embarrassed him last year? Give me a break.
How did he publicly embarrass him last year?
Yeah, with the firing him like that, and yeah, give me a break.
No, they amicably parted ways.
Amicably.
No, they didn't. He fired him,
right.
And they should have fired him. Come on, they shouldn't
stunk.
Have fired him.
I mean, I don't know. I didn't think so. You guys know more football than I do, but
that's debatable.
I famously bet Andy $20. I didn't think he was going to get fired, but yeah.
You could have doubled down and said he's not going to get hired again.
You know, this jackass paid me in pennies.
Really?
Yeah, screw
paid
him.
Paid off his bet in pennies.
I enjoy that kind of level of pettiness.
I had a case of pennies in the back seat of my truck for months and months and months, and then I took them somewhere and they didn't even want them. I forgot what happened. I don't even know how I got rid of them. I might have thrown them away.
He just like left them somewhere.
Yeah. But no, like that response, I think, falls in line with everything we've gotten from Bill about the Patriots and Drake May and Gerard Mayo this year. And I actually got a little confused in there. He was taking pot shots at the Jags and the Browns, but then I didn't know if he was taking pot shots at the Patriots because they lost to the Jags.
Right.
Like, it was almost like he couldn't keep his pot shots in order, and he was like just kind of shooting at will in various directions.
Like a buckshot, you know, just getting everywhere.
But I do wonder if he has a – because there's animosity towards Ryan Pace. There is clear and obvious animosity there, and I don't – I don't know the back history.
I think Bill pissed a lot of people off in 20 years. You know, I think animosity back towards him. Not just because he beat them all. I think, like, he was
a dink.
He was what he was. I mean, yeah, he was our guy, but he was what he was. I think he made a lot of enemies over that time. And, listen, it's not going to matter in the media landscape because that makes you polarizing. That makes you interesting.
Right.
And when you have a resume like Belichick's, people are going to want to have you on to talk about stuff. But when it comes to NFL jobs, getting back into the league and things like that, I don't think it's a coincidence there were a lot of teams that just said, hell no, that guy's not working here.
There's a lot of people that hold grudges, I think, in the NFL above other issues, his age and his recent success and turning over rosters and all that. But I do like this part of Bill. This is the Bill I wanted. I was worried we were going to get Bill that would kind of pussyfoot through things.
Yeah.
This, I think, is the real Bill Belichick. A snarky comment about all-world wide receivers and, you know, maybe we might want to draft a guard every once in a while. Like, I think that's the snarky Bill. I think that's who you would get behind the scenes making those kinds of comments about flashy players and things of that nature. Now, the irony is his own roster creation issues and,
I know,
and things that he's
it's
faced.
It's like, no, Bill, your way with the rookie quarterback was way better. I think that bringing in a defensive coordinator and a special teams coach to be the new offensive coordinator, that's the way to go. We should all take a page out of the Belichick offensive playbook.
And Ryan Pace should be like, yeah, you're right, Bill. We should all draft guards in the first round who I could have gotten in the fourth
round. Like Cole Strange.
Great idea, Bill. That really worked out well for you in the long run. So, you know, the snark can go in both directions.
Sure.
And the reality is, it's a really difficult job for all these guys, and there's plenty to pick at. And we pick at Bill. Like, have you seen all the stuff he's pumping to that is anybody reading, watching, following? He put out, like, the Bill Belichick mid-season team, the Bill Belichick young this mid-season team.
Where is all this
It's
content?
On, like, social media. I didn't click on any of it. I couldn't have less interest.
He just got InstaFace recently, so where was it? He doesn't have Twitter, does he?
I think it was on Instagram
in
like a story, an Insta story maybe, and he was trying to get you to link to his all mid-season team and these things that just seemed really boring.
The all mid-season team. I'd read that.
And there was a couple others.
We did mid-season awards.
Like, have you watched – okay, but it's a little different.
Is it?
Yes.
Yeah, we're not Bill Belichick.
It was on YouTube, guys.
It was a YouTube thing?
Yeah, it was on YouTube with, like, Matt Patricia and Lombardi.
Oh, so that's the underdog show, right?
Okay,
yeah, that's
so
his underdog.
Maybe it was through that.
Yeah, yeah.
And then have you stumbled upon the show that he and Peyton Manning do on ESPN where they're both on Zoom and they just, like, kind of break down plays? It's
not the Manning cast.
No. This is a separate show. This is one of those.
I don't know this one, though.
I want to say late. I think I fell asleep one night with ESPN on, and when I woke up, this is what was on.
Maybe
at
it was
weird
a fever
hour.
Dream or something.
No, it was real. And it was kind of like Edge NFL matchup with a lot of, like, footage and, like, highlighted guys, show what he's doing. Bill talks. It was dry as the Sahara Desert.
Really?
It was just not my cup of tea. I'd much rather have Bill doing this on the McAfee show, taking pot shots at people, because, I don't know, do we need a Bill Belichick team? I know all Madden was a thing, and, like, I don't know, just weird.
The all Belichick team? I don't know. I mean, I don't think.
I think I'd like to see the numbers on a lot of this. Are people, I don't even know how his underdog thing works. Are a lot of people watching that, downloading that?
Couldn't tell you. I mean, not like they're watching Pat McAfee or Monday Night Football, obviously.
Right.
I mean, those are two very big, visible things.
Yeah, but
even
those existed
pre-Bill. Inside the NFL, yeah. Inside the NFL is in the CW now. No one even knows what
Haven't seen it once except for when Ryan Clark was dressed up in that weird-ass costume.
Which was pretty funny. 617-779-7937. David's in the car with a thought on this topic. Hi, David.
Hey, good evening, guys.
Good evening, David.
I'm Belichick. I don't blame him for talking the way he does because, you know, he was done dirty, okay? The way they let him go, the Patriots, I mean, Mr. Kraft will never see another championship.
David, what was dirty?
Never gonna coach it
David,
in.
What was dirty about
was
the
dirty?
Way they let him go? Yeah.
Either you fire the guy outright, or the way it was announced, there was a mutual decision. There was no mutual decision. That was Kraft, as always, trying to look good in the public eye. That's all he worries about.
But Bill didn't have to take part in that. Bill took part.
Y'all looking good because he had the
what? Ah, we lost him. Anyway.
Hit what? Because Bill took part in that. If you don't want to take part in saying, F you, fire me.
Right, yeah.
Send me packing. You hold your press conference. Do what you do.
Right. Now, if Robert Kraft said he wanted an elegant solution, Bill Belichick could have said, I don't give a bleep what you want.
I'm the least elegant man on the planet.
Right.
F you.
Yeah.
Either keep me
you
in my job or fire me.
Right.
Now, if you want to go down the road of, because I was waiting for David to go down here, the Dynasty documentary.
He's probably going to before his phone crashed.
And some of that stuff. I understand when firings happen, there's ill will.
Mm-hmm.
Probably on both sides.
Sure.
Right? Like Robert indicated, I let him have too much power, blah, blah, blah. Bill probably feels like he was undercut by Mayo and Robert, like the sleeping with the enemy, like the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
All of that, that's kind of the normal course of events. But I would say simply, there was that famous quote that Edelman passed along that Bill once told them, someday the media will turn on me too. The media didn't turn on you. Your record turned on you.
Yeah, you suck.
The scoreboard turned on you. Your draft picks turned on you.
Mm-hmm.
Your success rate turned on you. And quite honestly, you made decisions. I deal with a mother who is going down the road of being elderly, and I question her decisions. He made decisions that if it were like a decision in your everyday life, you're like, do we need to have a talk?
Yeah.
Like that, making Matt Patricia the offensive coordinator.
Like an intervention should have happened.
Yeah. Like if you were siblings watching mom, I don't know what an example in real life would be. You'd be like, do we need to talk about what mom did?
Put the leftovers in the dishwasher.
Yeah, something like
right.
that.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you be like, I think we need a conversation to be had? Because, a good appliance is a good appliance. Why can't I put it in the dishwasher if I want? I could put it in the fridge or the dishwasher. I chose the dishwasher. That was Bill, so.
That was the equivalent of hiring Patricia. Yes.
So let's not pretend he didn't go success-wise, decision-wise, off the rails a little bit at the end. It didn't work. It ran out of gas. He made bad decisions. He was complicit in his own firing.
He was. And I think that if Robert Kraft had it his way, he would have kept Bill here to get that record. And
yes.
He would have kept, and if Bill was still winning in a clip that it seemed like, okay, we'll get this in a year or two or next year, whatever. Was he 13, 14 wins away, whatever it was. If they thought for sure that this is going to be business as usual, Mac Jones is the next guy, we'll be back in the playoffs, we'll be winning 10, 11, 12, whatever,
that
how many
was the
games a
that
year.
Was literally the plan in writing.
Yes.
Remember Tom Curran saying, there's wins all over this schedule. This team believes they're a double-digit win team.
Mm-hmm.
It was a two-year plan. He was supposed to get 10-10. That would get him past the record or whatever, 10-9.
Yeah.
There was supposed to be – that's how it was signed, sealed, and delivered.
Yeah.
You think Robert Kraft wants to pay Bill Belichick reportedly $25 million to not coach his football team this year?
And rip his football team on
right.
TV? Definitely not.
And you people
–
and I'm pointing to you specifically, but you people like to bring up he didn't spend money, he's cheap, he's this. So that guy – wants to pay $25 million for Bill not to coach his team?
Mm-hmm.
No. There was a reason it was a two-year plan. He wanted him to get the record, I think.
Yep.
Like you
and
think.
And celebrate it right here in this building.
And then go out as a great
yes.
one. Now I can bring in my guy, Gerard Mayo. Everything's nice
that
and neat.
That was the elegant solution.
And then you know what happened? Bill stunk. The Patriots stunk, and he had to pull the plug.
Yep.
Germany happened. That puffy jacket and all.
Yeah. And the puffy jacket never recovered from that.
Nope.
And I don't think there was really any other way that you could have handled it. You could have just said you're fired and that's it and not held a press conference. I think it was a little bit, they had it in the old press room. It wasn't even like they had it where they had Mayo's thing. It was in the other press room, right? It was in like the old one.
Oh, no, it was in the team auditorium.
Or the team auditorium, that's right, yeah. So it wasn't even where they have their big press conferences. And I think that in general, if Bill didn't want to be up there, he didn't have to. You're right about that.
He took part.
He decided to, and that's fine. And I also think that he probably expected, as soon as I get fired, I'm going to be the phone's going to be ringing off the hook. People are going to want to hire me. And maybe they did for certain things, right? Like maybe they did for
podcasts.
Media availability and podcasts and stuff like that. And the fact that that happened, he didn't get a job. I guess this was out of order, but then the documentary came out, and then he didn't get a job. All that stuff sort of happened, bang, 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 bang. And there was a lot of empathy for Bill after that. There was a lot of sort of, wait a minute.
I mean, the Brady Knight ovation?
Yeah.
Holy crap.
It's like five straight minutes.
That
Huge.
Was 5 minutes of Patriot Nation siding with Bill.
Yeah.
That's what that was.
That was love that
and,
you heard.
And I'm not pretending he didn't get done dirty a little bit with, to me, the dirtiest thing, I think even dirtier than the documentary for me was the podcast. We said it was an amicable parting of ways, and then he was like, I fired him. Like, why'd you need to say that?
Oh, the Breakfast Club. Yeah, that's a morning show, but yeah.
I never believed your little spin from the beginning, but if you're going to, like, tell a lie, stick to the lie.
Right.
And then to a few months later.
All this time later, too, to bring it up.
It was weird.
Like, yeah, it didn't really have
that
to be
would have
like
not
that.
Sat well with me if I were Bill. Among
one thing I learned from coaches and from Thunder.
Thunder.
Yeah. Greg Hill called him Thunder. He's like, hey, so how often do you talk with Thunder? And I was like, oh, yeah, right. I forgot about the Thunder.
Well,
thing.
It also confused
totally
Mayo.
Completely forgot about that.
They were talking.
Yeah.
Somebody made a reference
he's
to
like,
Bill.
Thunder. Yeah.
And then he goes, how often do you talk to Thunder? And he's like, Thunder's Robert.
Right.
And I didn't like that he said every day. That didn't sit well with me.
Why not?
I don't know. You think you should be talking every day? Lots? Often?
I don't know. I mean, why not?
I don't know. Feels weird.
What's weird about it?
Micromanaging.
But it, well, who knows who's initiating the calls?
Yeah, and Mayo did do a good job of that, saying Robert's managed a lot of people for a lot of time. He has a lot of experiences. It's not about football. It's more about...
If Kraft is blowing up his phone every day, I agree. I don't like that either. But I
every day. Every day.
Every day.
Yeah, every day.
I didn't get the sense that he was saying, yeah, he's constantly telling me stuff, micromanaging me and all that.
Do you talk to Ken every day?
I do not.
Okay.
I wave to him when I walk in, the few times that he's actually in his office. But
is that a shot?
Ooh, of course it's a shot.
Shot across the bow.
Have you not heard anything? I take shots at Ken all the time. It's like my favorite thing to do.
Ken, I love you. You're doing a fine job, buddy.
617-779-7937. We'll wrap things up next with Odds and Ends. Odds and Ends brought to you by Cars for Kids, the easiest way to get rid of your old car. Donate today. Your car can be picked up tomorrow. Donate now at carsforkids.com. That's cars with a K and the number 4. It's a big week here, big week in sports, Andy, because on Friday, finally, after a big, long delay, it was supposed to happen this summer on Friday, Jake Paul and 60-ish-year-old Mike Tyson will finally fight each other in what is going to be the biggest ripoff in the history of boxing, I think.
No, because it's not a ripoff. It's on Netflix.
It's on Netflix, I know. But
so there's no – if I would agree with you if you were making me pluck down $99.99 for, like, a pay-per-view. It's on Netflix.
If you have Netflix, then it's great.
I mean, half the –
most
more
people
than
have
half
Netflix.
The world has Netflix.
I agree. But just in terms of your time, if you've ever paid for one of these Jake Paul or Logan Paul fights – Logan Paul was doing fights, too. They're the biggest jokes in the world. Like, it's not – it's not fun to watch these.
So why do you pay?
I don't enjoy any of them. I paid for one of them. And then I said, I'm never going to do this again. And then I paid for another one.
Right.
And that was the last one. And I haven't paid for one since then. I know Jake Paul lost to, like, Tyson Fury's brother or something. Yeah. And that's when you sort of realize, okay, when he fights an actual active boxer, he gets his ass kicked. Now he's fighting Mike Tyson, who is – how old is Mike Tyson? He is 60 – or he's 58. He's pushing 60. He's currently 58 years old.
Not that old.
His last professional fight was back in 2005. He lost to a guy named Kevin McBride.
Oh, yeah.
And that is a guy who actually lives locally. I think
yes.
He lives in Dorchester and is a local guy. He's from Ireland, but that was the last fight he ever had that Tyson had. And after he lost, he said, I'm not going to fight anymore because I don't want to disrespect the art of boxing by losing to guys like this, which is a major shot at a guy who just beat him. But he did beat him. He also lost to a guy named Danny Williams in 2004. And these guys, all due respect, were not exactly Lennox Lewis or Evander Holyfield or Tyson Fury or any of the good boxers of the big heavyweights,
right.
You know, Klitschko or any of those guys. These were kind of middle-of-the-road, boxing-for-a-paycheck kind of guys. And Tyson was losing to guys like that 20 years ago. Now it's 60? You think he's going to beat a 26 or whatever? I don't know how Jake Paul is, but he's in his 20s.
But is he a boxer?
I mean, even if he isn't. I don't think this is going to go the way people are expecting. Everyone's like, oh, yeah, Tyson's finally going to kick Jake Paul's ass. And that's the whole point of all of these fights, is everyone hates Jake Paul. They hate Logan Paul. They want to see someone kick their ass. And so they pay money or they get in that, whatever they do, just for the hope of maybe getting to see that. And no one ever kicks their ass. Mayweather didn't even kick Logan Paul's ass. And you know he could have kicked Logan Paul's ass. He's Floyd Mayweather. Come on. And so that, to me, makes this seem like a total waste of time to begin with. But the idea that there's so many people who still think that Mike Tyson's going to come out like he did back in the punch-out days and knock them out in 10 seconds, just like he was losing the schmeh boxers 20 years ago. What do you think he's going to do this time?
But this isn't a boxer. And there's that country song that's, I'm not as good as I once was, but I'm as good once as I ever was. I only need one punch, Mike. I only need one punch. And I also think what plays into this is that age-old question. How much would it take for you to step in the ring with Mike Tyson, to take a punch from Mike Tyson? And some people want this guy to take the punch that they, you know, he's getting paid. I don't know how much, has this been reported, how much Netflix has invested in
these
guys?
I'd imagine it is an ass load of money for this, yes.
A boatload of money.
Yes.
But everybody's rooting for Paul to take one on the chin and just drop. And I also think there's
a 0% chance of that happening.
Well, there's a little bit. There is a chance because Mike Tyson's crazy. He bit a man's ear off once.
He did.
He bit a man's ear off.
25 years ago, sure.
So
yeah.
It doesn't matter. That crazy is still deep inside him somewhere.
I agree.
And he could get in the ring, and this could be staged and a whole thing. And then Logan Paul does something to him that pisses him off, and he goes, I'm not going down like this. I'm not letting this white boy punk go. I'm punching him right in the chin, and it's like Rock'em Sock'em Robots, and his head just pops off.
It's like when you shadow box with your buddy, and everything's fun and games until someone gets, you know, accidentally hit a little harder than they expect, and now you're like, I'm going to take your head off.
Absolutely.
And Jake Paul's estimated to make $40
million. $40 million.
To get punched in the mouth.
What
good
are
job
we
if
doing?
You can get it.
We can agree the whole world is rooting for Mike Tyson, correct?
Sure.
Yes.
Okay. And there is at least a chance we get what we want. Now, there's probably a 99% chance we don't get what we want. That's the most likely
outcome. I'd say it's 100% chance you don't get
what
you want.
No, there is a chance. I'm with Stiz. There's a chance Logan Paul does something that they didn't really talk about beforehand, and Mike Tyson just goes, F it. I'm not doing this. You're going down, punk.
I think I'm the only one in this conversation right now that thinks that Jake Paul, if he wanted to, could kick Mike Tyson's ass.
Yeah, I think you're the only
He's 60 years old.
I don't care.
I do care.
Would you challenge him? Oh, wait.
I wouldn't.
You took boxing lessons as a kid.
Jake Paul's an actual guy. He goes out and fights.
Yeah,
can we have a last-minute poll?
He's not trash. Jake Paul has hands. He can fight.
He's trash.
All right, but Mike Tyson was losing to trash boxers 20 years ago.
The only question I have, is it possible that it's literally like written into the contract that Tyson can't punch him in the mouth?
I think that was written into the Mayweather one. I think Mayweather, they told him, like, all right, go out there and do whatever, but don't knock him out because we got to keep this thing going. You know, we got to make it seem like he can hang around with you guys.
Nope.
Or whatever. I think that's probably what you're going to
see. Also, what time is it?
What time is the fight?
Yeah.
I don't know. I know there's a long undercard. There's like 5 or 6 fights.
Could be like midnight. That's good. Because there's a lot of high school football games this Friday night, so I'll have time to get home, have a few Miller Lights, and be all liquored up and think, I earned Mike. Oh, you're Mike, and then watch him lose.
I remember when Mike Tyson fought, local guy, Pete McNeely. Remember that?
Oh, my God, remember that press conference?
I sure do.
Oh, that's so great.
I did chore. I raked leaves. I did everything. I saved money so I could buy with my own money so I could buy that fight, and it was over in like 8 seconds or whatever it was. He didn't even knock him out. The guy just jumped in and was like, no, that's it. No more of this. Like, it's all over.
He had his
palm. And I remember, I said to my dad, I was like, so do we get our money back? And he's like, no. No, you don't.
This is called a lesson in life, my
son. It really was. So ever since then, I've always been hesitant to spend my time on Mike Tyson fights. Anyway, I think it's going to be a disaster at worst, a waste of time at best. And I guess we'll find out on Friday.
Can we go?
That's all the time we have here today.
We take the afternoon show on the road?
Yeah, let's go. Let's go to the fight.
Where is it?
I don't know.
Vegas?
I don't know where it is.
Somewhere?
I think it's in Texas.
Is that in the budget?
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Host 2 should go anyway.
Definitely,
screw Host 1.
It's in Arlington, Texas at AT&T Stadium. So there you go.
Oh, Jesus. There's going to be 100,000 people there.
There'll be a lot of people there to watch the worst fight ever. Anyway, that's all the time that we have. Thanks to Drake May. Thanks to Jonathan Jones. We'll be back tomorrow at 2 o'clock. We'll talk to you then right here on WEEI. Stick around as Mego and Fitzy, is that who's on tonight?
That's right.
Taking you up until Monday Night Football. We're out of here. Talk to you tomorrow at 2. Bye.
Bye.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.